on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Wednesday, September 4th, 2024 edition, and we are excited for this hour with you to look at where markets are today, both in the short, medium, and long term, and help you decipher the headlines, the data that are important to you and your investments in your particular situation. There's a lot of noise out there. Social media is filled with clickbaits and sensational articles that really don't give you a whole lot besides trying to stoke up those emotions. And we know throughout the years that using your emotions is your quickest path to making a bad decision. A bad decision. Okay. Fear and greed are the main emotions. And depending on what the markets are doing, depending on what particular asset classes are doing, you will likely feel one or the other. And your job, our job, is to weed out those emotions, focus on the facts on the ground, the fundamentals of the asset, as well as the market trends and the risk that is involved with getting into that particular investment or continuing to hold that investment. What's the opportunity cost there? All of these things are what you need to be thinking about, not what the return was over the past month or year or 3 years. Focusing really on quality businesses, quality assets, and fitting that with your risk profile and your ultimate goals. Okay, so that's what this show is truly about. Really down-to-earth investment approach. I'm not here to bang whistles. I'm not Kramer, okay? Kramer is there to entertain you. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to educate you. So let's get started. Now, in a bit, I will go over the market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll hit our first caller question now.
Hello, my name is David from San Luis Obispo, California. Would you take a look at Cavco Industries, ticker CVCO? It's a manufactured home building company. I've been buying the stock the last 2 months, and I think it's at fair value. What's your opinion on it? Thank you.
All right. Looking at Cavco, CVCO is the symbol. And this is a, I call it mid-cap, $3.3 billion market cap. So it's to earn $18.56 a share this year, $22.56 a share next year. So some nice growth set for next year, which I like. Trading at about a 22 times multiple. If you go based on forward-looking earnings of 22 and change, you're talking about a high teens. It's trading right around $400 per share, $399.07 at the close today. And it's certainly in an uptrend. Relative strength is 88. I really like that. Let's look at the fundamentals, okay? And it looks like they have no long-term debt. Great balance sheet there. Love that. Return on equity is at about 14%. That's good. Now, it's down from 32% in 2022. But, you know, these things ebb and flow. And 14% is kind of closer to the 10-year average. So I think that's fine there. The free cash flow is $171 million. I'd like to see that a little bit better, and that has been coming down from $256 in the second quarter of 2023 down to $171 now. I don't love those trends, but as I said, analysts are expecting earnings to reaccelerate. Earnings last year fell 32%, so it's to level off this year and then go up 22% next year. So, as long as analysts are right, then I think you're going to get a reacceleration in free cash flow and an earnings. So I like that. Quality business return on, shares outstanding. They are buying back shares. Love to see that. Back in 2021, they had about 9 million shares outstanding. Now it's down to about 8.2 million shares outstanding. So roughly 10% of the Shares have been bought back over the past couple of years. So I'm a fan of that. I'm going to give this one a thumbs up. You know, cheap housing is hard to find, and manufactured homes in many ways are an alternative to that for some people. So I'm going to give Cavco Industries a thumbs up. Obviously a higher risk name because it's such a small name. But overall, I like the balance sheet and I like the profitability and the industry that it is in. Thanks for the call. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and this is what we have planned on the docket. Our main focus point is green fintech revolution, $540 billion market reshaping finance. So we're going to look at, you know, how are these green initiatives being financed, and how does that play into the industry and whether the industry can continue to grow in a profitable way? So we will look at that. In addition, we have other topics on the docket. One is in regards to the oil industry. Trump wants to drill, baby, drill. But can he really cut energy prices? Because you can remove a lot of the restrictions on, you know, drilling on government lands and lowering regulations, but you can't force the oil companies to drill. So we'll look at what the potential effects of a Trump presidency would be on the oil industry. And then active ETFs. You used to only get active strategies in mutual fund form. And most of the ETFs that were launched over the past 30 years or so have been the index form. And that's starting to change. Active ETFs hit $1 trillion in assets recently. And so we'll look at that industry growth and how you might be able to utilize some of these in your portfolio. All right. So those are the topics that we will hit on, as well as some voice bank questions. One is in regards to 529 plans. The other is ETFs, an ETF-only portfolio. And then we also have questions submitted via the comment section over on the Invest Talk YouTube channel. And we also will fit in an iTunes review question as well. And of course, we most of all love your live calls. 888-99-CHART. That's how you get through and ask your question 4 to 5 Pacific time each and every weekday. So don't hesitate to pick up your phone and give us a call with your question. Now we're going into a short break, and on the other side, we'll talk about today's market activity. But please remember that you can call any time of day, 24/7, 365, and leave your question on the InvestTalk voice bank at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk callers make each podcast unique.
I was calling about Intel, if it's worth holding on to, or should I sell it?
Their questions are curious.
I have saved up around $80,000, and I was wondering what I should do to make it grow.
Careful.
So I'm just wondering, is this a value trap? Because it looks like it's gone down quite a bit.
Concerned.
It's taken quite the tumble today. I've been trying to get out of this position for a while. I think I waited too long.
And clever.
Looking at Dominion Energy, Inc., does seem to be situated in some areas of expanding population.
And Justin Klein and now Luke Guerrero are always ready with their unbiased answers.
And this is, it looks like a classic example of chasing yield. Don't chase the yield.
Next 12 months price to earnings is around 30. I just don't see it at this price.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART. InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel.
Now let's take a quick look at the market today. It was a relatively boring day overall compared to yesterday's major market sell-off. It was still negative. The S&P was down 8, almost 9 points. NASDAQ was down 52 points, about 0.3%. The broad U.S. market was down about 17 basis points, and the Dow was up just a bit. And you certainly had a sell-off in in some of the big tech names. And you had a buyout potentially of Frontier Communications by Verizon. So that was really the big news in markets overall. You had some big losers. Dollar Tree was down 22% on the day. So it's just showing you that the lower rung of the consumer is struggling, you know, and that's why the Fed is looking to cut rates, trying to help the lower end consumer, and they're the ones typically shop at Dollar Tree. So that was down big. U.S. Steel was down big because the buyout from Nippon Steel has been rejected by the Biden administration. So that was a big loser. Celsius also down another 11% on the day. And that was a big loser. Most actives, NVIDIA was also down about 1.5%. Intel down 3%. And you had some positive, though. Tesla up 4%. NIO up 2%. The Chinese car maker. And so kind of a mixed bag overall, to be honest with you. Some big winners, some big losers, but it was kind of a consolidation day after yesterday's sell-off. I still expect the next 4 to 8 weeks to be choppy to maybe slightly lower. And, you know, going through kind of a consolidation period at the end of the summer, seasonally. Remember, this is, a lot of people think of tax day. They think of April. Well, remember, this is actually tax month in the month of September for corporations. And oftentimes, these are corporations, small businesses that have to pay big tax bills. Where do they get that money? They go and sell off equities. So typically, money does get sucked out of the system during this time, and liquidity kind of tightens up a little bit. And so not a shock to see a market sell off yesterday and consolidation today. And so I continue to expect a choppier market between now and, let's just call it, election day. From there, I expect a more bullish end to the year. Now, I hope you've been telling your friends that our Invest Talk audio podcast is also available in video form over on a YouTube channel where you can see my pretty face as well as Luke's. And then we can also share our charts, and you can see the data that we are looking at to analyze these companies. Okay. Now, we do get questions in the comments section over on that channel. And this is one that came in recently. Jim Leahy says, what are your thoughts on Hims stock? Okay, Hims has been on an uptrend, but it has been pulling back as of late. Back in the fall, it was trading as low as $5.65. That was the 52-week low. Then it went all the way up to $25 and change back in, what was that, mid-June. But we've had a step back down to $14.61, right at the 200-day moving average. So technically, this is good support. It's in an uptrend at good support. You typically like to buy that, okay? Now, there's still some potential downside into, call it, $13 per share. That's the 50-week moving average. That would also be major support. But you're in the zone, right, between $13 and, call it, $15 per share. So that's one thing I like about the technicals. But that's just the technicals. Let's take a look at the charts. Charts are the technicals. Let's take a look at the fundamentals. They lost money last year, but they're supposed to make 36 cents this year and 58 cents the following year. Revenues last quarter grew 52%, but that's down from the 97% growth, year-over-year growth it had in the fourth quarter of 2022. So growth is slowing a bit, but still nice and healthy. $3 billion market cap here. And for everyone else out there, this is kind of your online... This is your online... health tech company. They sell erectile dysfunction drugs. They sell now, I believe, GLP-1 drugs like Ozempic via their platform as well. Mental health, dermatology, primary care, all these things that you can go on there, do some telehealth meetings, and then get your prescription. And so that's what's really driving their growth. It's easier access to a lot of the things that are in high demand. And I think the recent run-up has to do with those GLP-1 availabilities. So This is a very, very high risk name. It's at support. It's not cheap. I'll say that, right? Price to sales is at 3. Enterprise value to EBITDA looking forward is about 19. That's not terrible. So I don't hate it because I like those technicals. I like the growth, but it is still extremely high risk. So make sure you understand that. This is not a blue chip name. This is a name that could boom or it could easily bust and go back to losing money. Now we're moving into a break. Still to come in this podcast, I'll tackle more of your voice bank calls and get to the main focus point. So stay with me. But call now at 888-99-CHART.
You've got finance and investment questions, and Justin Klein is ready to provide his unbiased answers. Call now or anytime, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you can get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, our main focus point today is about green fintech and the growth in that market. And, you know, companies are increasingly developing products and services that emphasize the importance of environmental sustainability and building these projects, and how to finance them is becoming increasingly difficult because they just don't fit a normal model that will bring in financiers like VCs, right? Venture capital, as well as private equity. Private equity, they typically like to buy companies that are already at scale or have positive cash flow, then use to pay down the debt that they typically layer on, et cetera. And so that's the challenge. These are very asset heavy solutions, things like green steel or removing carbon from the atmosphere and just producing and storing renewable energy. And so it's been difficult. That's part of what the Inflation Reduction Act was, to infuse some government incentives and stimulus into that market as a whole. And, you know, climate tech is benefiting from favorable regulatory tailwinds. That's the good thing. That's the positive. But there are still a lot of unique challenges as well as opportunities in these asset heavy climate tech businesses. And there's high demand for solutions for things like sustainable fuel, hydrogen, green power, and high need and high capital needs that happen well before production. And that's really a big issue, is how do you get the financing, allow things to scale, which typically take 7 years on average for a typical type of green tech operation to really get to a point where, okay, it's commercially viable and profitable. And so that's what's very difficult, especially in a time when cost of capital has been higher. Yes, interest rates have come down, but they're still much higher than they have been in the past. And so that's why you look at things like the clean tech ETFs, and they just continue to move lower and lower and lower. And so while there's a lot of demand for this type of financing, it's increasingly difficult to find things that really pencil out from an investment standpoint. Okay. And the investment thesis in this is often comes down to relying upon a premium that the market will pay for the green technology in order to generate high returns for these businesses. And the existence of sustainable green premium in the future is not a given. Okay. It may be legislated in the future. And I think that's probably what is needed. Okay. Is how does the government create a potential artificial premium that will allow these type of technologies to scale, to find a foothold in certain industries and actually become economically viable? Because oftentimes the break-even point is not obvious. And when you're trying to finance something, that's very important. Everyone wants to know, okay, when is this break even? When does it no longer need additional capital? And when can it start producing profits that can return capital to shareholders, to lenders, et cetera? And once again, these are capital heavy businesses, not capital light. VCs, private equity, they love capital light businesses, software companies, for example. And so there aren't a lot of software companies that operate in the green space. And so this is an important aspect to understand, especially when you are looking at the theme, the story around green type of projects. They can work, but they're difficult. And you need a certain level of a margin of safety, shall we say, in order for it to make sense from a financing standpoint, because the risk is very high. And so when you're looking at ETFs, you're looking at companies that promise, okay, we are going to build this great thing that's going to lower carbon emissions or recycle products more effectively or efficiently, whatever it is that's going to be better for the environment. I always think those things are great if they can actually get to scale, that they can get to cash flow positive. But history says that most of these businesses rely heavily on government incentives, and it's difficult to find ones that even with government incentives can remain sustainable longer term and viable businesses. So I wanted to highlight this because there's a lot of growth here. There's a lot of money flowing in that space because of the government incentives, but that does not automatically mean that they will be successful. You have to check a lot of boxes before those can become great investments. Now, in the next Invest Talk, why gold prices are soaring. As gold prices soar, the demand for fallback money is becoming increasingly evident. With economic uncertainties on the rise, investors are flocking to gold as a safe haven asset. This trend highlights the shifting landscape of finance and what it could mean for the future of investment strategies. That story is tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART. I have a special message for InvestTalk listeners. I want to tell you about a smart investment known as term life insurance. Here at InvestTalk, we are big fans of term life insurance for those that need to protect loved ones. Unfortunately, many people get tricked into purchasing whole or universal life when a simpler solution like term life insurance is far superior. With that said, let me focus on Fabric by Gerber Life. Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right here, right now. You could be covered right from your couch in under 10 minutes with no health exam required. Fabric helps make protecting your family's financial future a little easier with a term life policy that is affordable and can be customized to your family's needs. Listen, if you've got kids, and especially if you're young and healthy, the time to lock in low rates is now. Remember, your children are depending on you. Getting Fabric is very easy. It is a 100% digital experience. There are no unnecessary medical exams. And Fabric even comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. If needed, you can cancel anytime. So build a plan that's tailored to your needs, with coverage ranging from $100,000 up to $5 million. With some plans, you can purchase $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. You'll see prices from as low as $7.86 per month. Term lengths from 10 to 30 years. Apply online now or in the app. And if you need a hand, their licensed team is standing by. Fabric. F-A-B-R-I-C. Now they've partnered with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families for over 50 years. So join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to help protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/investtalk. That's meetfabric.com/investtalk. M-E-E-T, fabric.com cavco.com/investtalk. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
If you've ever dreamed of a world-class sailing adventure, I have exciting news for you. Whether you're a seasoned boater or someone desiring to experience the world differently, far away from the crowds and rushed itineraries, I've got the vacation you've been wanting for possibly a long time. I'm not talking about a cruise. Instead, imagine a private yacht reserved just for you and your friends and family. In fact, it would be ideal for groups of up to 10 guests. Destinations include the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, St. Lucia, Belize, Tahiti, Greece, Italy, Thailand, and many more. You've seen the pictures on social media, people basking on a yacht off the shores of Italy or sailing the iconic waters of Tahiti. And you ask yourself, how do they do this? Well, this magical experience can be yours with the help of The Moorings. For more than 50 years, The Moorings has set the standard for sail charters, power charters, and all-inclusive crewed yacht charters in over 20 destinations across the globe. In fact, The Moorings is the world's premier yacht charter vacation provider and is proud to have one of the newest fleets in the industry, including state-of-the-art catamarans or a classic monohull. So, when you are ready to enjoy the world in all its majesty, authentic and unscripted, prepared to see more and be immersed in the real culture and lifestyle of your vacation destination, without planned excursions and rigid tour groups, The Moorings is waiting for you. Renting your own private yacht for a week is more affordable than you think. Now that you are inspired, your journey begins at moorings.com.
It's official. We've now crossed over the 59 million download mark. Invest Talk. Call anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin. Hi, Luke. This is Nick from the Bay Area. I had a question about 529 portfolios. I have been investing in a 529 for my son since he was a baby. He's now a freshman in high school. I use ScholarShare 529. I guess it's the California version. I have been using a pre-selected fund called a passive diversified equity portfolio. Seems to be doing okay. We have about 3 to 4 years before he'll start needing the money for college. So I'm kind of wondering whether I should start to reduce risk now and change investments into a more conservative allocation, maybe a targeted fund, or should I wait till it's closer to graduation? I was just trying to think about trying to reduce risk in case, you know, there is some market volatility, since we will be needing money in the semi-foreseeable future. Any advice you may have would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Well, I love that you're thinking about that. That is certainly important to consider when you're talking about time horizons. You know, when your child is young, you know, adolescence, and you have a decade plus before college. Now it sounds like your child is in high school and you're starting to think about maybe applying for colleges soon, and it's, you know, it's around the corner. So, reducing the risk is something that probably is smart. Now, you might be a bit early. I think it's closer to 1 to 2 years out. And especially because I do think you kind of in the near term, medium term, shall we call it, I think markets are going to be relatively bullish, probably at least through first half of next year. So I think you have a little bit of time to be patient on getting more conservative, but you should probably start lining up what that looks like with your investment options. Is there just a straight conservative targeted fund or maybe a target date fund that's maybe 2025 and that starts to get more conservative in the near term, something like that. That's what I would be thinking. I would be lining that up right now. I maybe wouldn't pull the trigger right away because I remain bullish on equities in the medium term. But yeah, probably sometime middle part of next year, that's when you start to move out of those more aggressive allocations and into something a bit more conservative. So I love that he's asking about that. And that's a lesson for everyone out there to not just focus on what's the best return you're going to get for a particular investment, but also the time horizon, the risk associated with that investment. Now let's go to a live call. Talk to Bill in Northern California, looking at Chevron.
Yeah, Justin, I actually bought some of those today at 142.50, a little bit. And I'd been looking at the chart, and it looked like, you know, in the last year or two, this is kind of near the low. I see that oil prices, you know, are coming down lately. I'm buying this basically for the dividend. I'm retired, so I like more dividend income, but hopefully, you know, at some point, if it appreciated, I would sell some of it. I like to, you know, buy low for the dividend and then, you know, sell high if it's a cyclical type of stock. And this certainly goes up and down a lot. You know, I don't see a real, you know, long-term trend in the oil stocks. They just go up with oil prices. But mm-hmm. you give me your overall perspective on that theory and the price right now.
Well, you're buying into one of the big bellwethers within the space, Chevron and Exxon. I like Exxon a bit more. Let me take a look at the dividend on Exxon. Chevron, it's about 4.6. Exxon's 3.3. You know, I would rather own Exxon, to be frank, even though it has a little bit lower yield. But remember, dividends are very overrated. And so, you know, it's more about the quality of the business. And right now, Exxon has a much better growth trajectory than Chevron. And so both are very good. Both are big bellwethers with good balance sheets and good assets. Exxon is just better at the moment. And so on this dip in oil, they're all kind of dipping because oil prices are coming down. I would rather buy Exxon.
Okay. Thanks well, thank you for that.
No problem. Let's go to Kevin in the Bay Area. He wants to talk about investment advisor security.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, so my partner has been looking into getting a financial advisor. Mm-hmm. She chose to want to pick someone that lives closer to where we live over here in the mm-hmm. Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And they asked her to provide her social security number so that they could open up some accounts that, yep. They can focus on. But she feels a little uncertain because she hasn't signed anything that, like, protects her or, like, ensures that, like, this financial advisor is going to work in her best interest. I mainly just wanted to ask, like, what's the standard practice and if there's anything that can make her feel safer knowing that even giving out this, you know, important information that she's going to be protected.
Yeah, well, you may have to give out give them your social security number, most likely. Now, the big question is, are they setting up an account at a major brokerage firm for you, like Schwab, Fidelity, E-Trade, et cetera?
Yeah, they mainly use Schwab.
Okay.
But so she can just make an account on her own and add them as like a...
Yeah.
As an advisor account. Like,
yeah, that's possible as well. We do that. We typically go the other way where we send our clients, new clients, an application via DocuSign, and then that opens up on the Schwab institutional side and then under our master account number. And then we see it on our platform. She can do it the other way where you guys go directly to Schwab. It opens up on the retail side of Schwab. And then that advisor sends what is called an LPOA form, and that would allow that account to go under that advisor's master account number. That's how Schwab works. So you can go that way. It's just a bit more paperwork, but hopefully that advisor doesn't have an issue with that. We don't have an issue with that. It's up to the client how they want to do it. The good thing is they're using a third party. You always, 100% of the time, you want to have a third party custodian. You never want the advisor holding onto the money. That's how Bernie Madoff stole all the monies because he was the holder of that. Now, when it comes to acting in your best interest, what you need to ask them is, are they a broker Or are they a registered investment advisor? And are they a pure RIA, or are they wearing both hats? Because a lot of times the advisors, they wear both hats. They'll sell you a commission product and wear their broker hat. And then the other side, they'll manage some assets and collect a fee on that side. So you need to know whether they are pure fiduciary, they're acting in your best interest, or are they acting as a broker sometimes as well? So you need to ask that question and get clarity on it to make sure that they aren't doing things that are better for them than you.
Is there any way to verify if they're a pure fiduciary, or if there's like a standard contract that advisors in the industry usually ask new clients to sign just to describe their relationship?
Well, you should simply ask them. Hopefully they'll be honest with you. You can go look them up on the SEC website as well, in FINRA. So you want to go over, I think it's brokercheck.gov, and then find out what their licenses are. If you are, like, we're just a registered investment advisor. We have our Series 65 license. And so a lot of times the advisors have their 7 as well as their 63, I think it is. That's the basically the RIA license when you have a 7. It's a little more limited because there's some overlap with the 7. But the 7 is your typical one where you're selling certain commission products, loaded mutual funds, things like that. So asking what licenses they have, going to look up what licenses they have, that'll also give you some insight into the type of activities that they are allowed to engage in. And so hopefully they just have their Series 65 and then they're not even able to do anything else.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for your help.
No problem. Thanks for the call. I know it can be challenging to navigate all of this. If you want to call us, obviously we don't live in the Bay Area, but we have tons of clients in the Bay Area and we do Zoom calls every day. I pretty much do, I don't know, 2 to 6 Zoom calls a day with clients and potential clients and just connecting with everybody. So super easy in today's world, but good luck either way. All right. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Well, let's talk a little bit about the oil industry. And, you know, Trump is out there on the campaign trail, and he's talking about energy prices. And he thinks he can rapidly cut America's energy costs by 50% or more by what he's saying is drill, baby, drill. Talking about faster permitting, weaker environmental regulation, and other measures that will allow companies, oil companies, to drill for oil and gas and push prices down at the pump and on your electric bill. Problem with that is that you can give them all the ability to do it, but then they have to go out there and actually do it and be incentivized to do it based on market forces, okay? And more recently, these oil companies are more focused on returning cash to shareholders than growing their production. And on top of that, electricity costs across the country are disjointed. It's a disjointed system. There's a lot of weather patterns that drive demand more than what happens with supply. In fact, if you're talking about oil and gas, gas is what really drives energy prices, and gas prices are near record lows. So how much lower can they really push them down, or can more or less regulation, bring prices down? I think it's going to be very, very difficult. Okay. Now, companies that turned the U.S. into oil and gas juggernauts, the shale drillers, they're becoming increasingly cautious. Number one, uncertainty about the global economy. And the recent memory of big bust. Remember when oil prices went negative during the COVID crisis? It pushed these drillers into bankruptcy. And after that, Wall Street started to push drillers towards maximizing profits, not growth. And moving the cash that they're getting from these oil fields into share buybacks into dividend payments, not into more CapEx. And right now, oil prices are fairly middling. They're not high. They're not low. They're kind of, you know, hanging around the 70 range. And that's okay, but it's not great. So there's not a lot of incentives for these companies to drill more for oil or gas. And so there's not a lot of new supply coming on. It's not, it's slowing dramatically. Now, the shock of the Russian war with Ukraine in 2022 definitely spiked prices, but, and you know, they drilled after that a little bit, but now that prices have come down, that's dwindling. At least 63% of the industry's cash outflows went towards CapEx in each of the eight quarters before oil bottomed in 2016. And that was another time when a lot of those oil drillers went bankrupt. There was just way too much CapEx. Over the last eight quarters, so 2 years, that amount of CapEx has dropped to 49%, from 63 to 49%. Now, despite that, U.S. oil production still is at record highs, over $13 million barrels per day. And production levels are growing at a much slower rate, because that's what these oil executives are incentivized now to do, especially in their pay packages. It's not about growing their output. It's about putting money into oil projects that actually are economically viable, because they're getting incentivized by free cash flow, by amount of money that's returned to shareholders, etc. And so it may be a great talking point to say, hey, I'm going to reduce these regulations. I'm going to allow these drillers to drill more. And in certain instances, they might. Might open up a few opportunities that are economically viable, and they'll go for that. But overall, it's not a panacea. And so it's important to understand that just because Trump might, you know, it's kind of a 50-50 shot now, if you look at the betting markets between Kamala and Trump. And it's not clear how that's going to come out. And it's not clear exactly what the ultimate impact will be on the oil industry, because it's really going to depend more on geopolitical trends, demand trends than the industry, and obviously OPEC as well. So a lot of other factors that go into where oil prices would go than just regulations. Okay. Well, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday, and that's to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So give me a call. I'm ready for your questions now at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Hey there, this is a question regarding Celsius Holdings. I've been a buyer of puts for a while now and just got closed out of my positions on that 10% drop earlier today. Kind of wish I hadn't had the automatic stop in there, but I suppose it was good to leave it with profits. And my question, though, I remember hearing about a while back, you all said it was on your radar for somewhere around the $30 price tag. And I wanted to see if this would be a good time to go long the stock as opposed to shorting, or if you think it's still got more downward movement in it. I'd appreciate an answer whenever you can. Thank you.
All right. Looking at Celsius Holdings. Yeah, I remember this call a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was trading in the 40s. And I just said, you know, this is The technicals are not giving me any sign that this is turning around. You know, Celsius makes those healthier energy drinks, and their business has grown pretty nicely over the years. And many thought it was the new Monster Energy, which has been a dynamite performer over the last, you know, few decades, one of the best performers in the market. And so if Celsius is able to encroach on their market share and, you know, be the next hot thing in the energy drink market, you know, that's a nice name to jump on. And a lot of people did. Now, they lost money in 2022, but they made 77 cents in 2023. And this year, supposed to make $1 per share, although those estimates are coming down. Same with next year of $1.22. So you go based on next year's potential earnings. It's trading in a high 20 multiple now, and it's down at $32 per share. And that's down from a high right around $100 per share back in, let's see, what was that, March of this year. So it's already down about two-thirds from its high. And, you know, where is this going to stop? Ooh, that's hard to know at this point. The next major support is going to be closer to, still $30 per share. That's pretty good support. That's $32.39 at the close today. So you're still talking about, you know, 8% or so before you find decent support. And that's no guarantee that it's going to turn around there either. You need better signs that there will be some reversal. Now, the good sign for today was high volume. This is actually something you really want to look out for names that are in a strong downtrend. Typically, strong downtrends do not end until there is capitulation, meaning everyone is just done with it, baby being thrown out the bathwater, the emotions are high. You know, think of all the people have been buying on this dip and they're just getting crushed. And you know, they're down 30, 40, 50, 60 plus percent, and they've had enough, okay? And when the volume spikes, that's that indication that, hey, maybe all the sellers are out, all the weekends are gone, and there's not going to be as much pressure on the downside. Now, I would caveat with saying, that doesn't mean that it has to stop here just because you had good volume. I would want some indication that there is a reversal afoot, meaning some strength, okay? Just because it's high volume doesn't mean it has to bottom here. And I would be continuing to be patient on it, but it's starting to get into that zone, that $30 zone. It's getting into getting that sign today of the high volume. So there are things that are happening that are giving hope that the bottom is near. And so it's starting to become more and more on my watch list. So good company, good product. Obviously, people like it and starting to get into a nice buy zone. So I'm going to give it a tentative thumbs up if it can start to show some positive turnaround in the near term. Okay. Thanks for the call. Well, I think that about does it for today's show. A lot of great callers. I love the live calls, so please keep them coming. I know we have the voice bank for people that listen after hours, and that's good. But we love talking to you, going back and forth, getting a little more insight into what you're thinking, and trying to better answer your questions. Those live calls are always nicer. So keep calling. Appreciate that. I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And I hope you've heard, Invest Talk is available in video form over on our YouTube channel. So go over there and subscribe. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.